Welcome to the Lovability Podcast. My name is Jennifer Stiers, and I'm here with my sidekick, Brad. We're here to talk love and relationships, sex, marriage, and everything in between. We have in studio guests today. Our topic is...
The men have taken over lovability. Let's hear it, guys. Finally, we get our shot.
Lucky me. Okay.
You are lucky.
I am lucky. I know. I have all this testosterone in the room. So I've got three gentlemen with me. I've got Dennis.
Excuse me?
What?
Three gentlemen?
Oh, four.
Actually,
okay.
Four. Thank you.
Three gentlemen.
No offense, Brad.
Three gentlemen guests. We have Dennis, Corey, and John.
Hello,
Say
Jen
hello,
Stiers.
Guys.
Hello.
Hello, guys and girls.
Okay, so we just really want to have a raw conversation today about relationships. I want to ask a few questions to you guys, and I want every one of you to give your honest answers. I don't want you to give me what you think. John, quit smiling. I don't want you to give me what you think I want to hear, because there's a lot of ladies out there that want to know truly what you guys want, because it's confusing out there today in the dating landscape. So we want it's your honest
answers. I will give it. We will be truthful, Jen. No,
and be
no
clean
problem.
Too. I know you.
We will be truthfully clean.
That's right.
All right. Dennis has
air quotes.
Dennis has DJ voice.
Available for hire.
Okay, guys. So the one thing that we face in the dating landscape today in the dating world is nobody really knows what the other one wants. I think women are really, really confused as to what men want in dating. Do men really want a relationship? I mean, all of you are good looking guys. You're all single. Well, I think single in some dating. Is a relationship truly what you want? I mean, is that what you're looking for? Or are you looking to have a good time?
No, I think it's a personal, I mean, everybody's got kind of their own deal, right? For me, you got to answer that question yourself. In my particular situation, coming off a divorce for 3 years, the answer to that is a resounding yes. I think if we're all completely honest, I think a lot of the guys are just as confused as a lot of the girls. And I think, you know, knowing who you are and what you want, not being and being able to express that early in that dating process, I think is the key to that. But some people, you know, from a guy perspective, everybody talks about wanting complete honesty and transparency and all those things. And sometimes that's not really what they want. So I think that's a key thing, is being direct, open, honest, transparent, and seeing where that thing goes.
And you're certainly at that point, because I do know all of you. And I've had, you know, good conversations.
You know,
with
our anniversary is almost today.
It is.
Yeah. Almost three years on the nose.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I knew you before you were divorced.
That's right.
But you did get out there dating and you weren't ready.
Wasn't ready at all.
You were not ready. You thought you were ready, but
I thought I was ready and you talked me out of it. So good job, Jen Stiers.
Back it up. So that's important. The readiness part of it is really, really important, right?
You got to be ready. And I think you got to know yourself. And depending on kind of where you're at in your life, I think that takes a different form for every person. I think you've got to know who you're at, who you are, and really what you want. And then, you know, kind of the third thing is, what are you willing to tolerate and what are you willing not to tolerate? Me and you get in fights, I don't know, we talk once a week and you're always in my grill about this whole concept of chemistry and giving people second chances and really see, you know, in my particular case, I have to have an attraction to you mentally and physically, and that's it. If those two things exist, I think that forms the basis of some chemistry. But I know you probably disagree on some level because you tell me a whole lot.
We're totally going to talk about the chemistry thing, because I think the chemistry attraction thing and all of that is a whole other conversation. Dennis?
Yeah, sometimes the idea is good, timing bad. So, for example, I went through a divorce back at the end of 2014. I immediately jumped out into the dating world. And what I found out is I didn't know who I was. So if I don't know who I was, how can I be anything to anybody else? And much like any kind of a relationship breakup, a divorce or whatever, you're going through a remodeling process. You've got to go reinvent yourself. You got to figure out what works for you, what doesn't work for you. And I think it's really important you set boundaries. Who are you? What will I stand for? What do I want? What do I not want in terms of relationship? And then and only then, when you know what you want, then you can start entering into that relationship, because you know yourself better. You go through some kind of breakup like that, it's traumatic, and it really does. My advice to myself 5 years ago would take some downtime. You know what? Be really comfortable sitting on the couch on a Friday or Saturday evening. Make that your number one option. And if you're okay with that, when you get to that point, then you're okay being by yourself. Then you might be okay for somebody else.
So this is an it's an interesting conversation, though, because that was 5 years ago you gave yourself that advice. And if I could have recorded you 2 weeks ago, you were giving yourself that same advice again. So
Dennis
it's
isn't
not
making
like,
much progress.
It's a recircle. It's a recircle around, right?
It's certainly, no. There are certainly times when you've got to back up the truck and then pause again. And you've done that recently. And I think that's good for everybody. I think that's good advice for everybody because obviously you understand it. You know it. You just spoke it like an expert. But at the same time, you still needed to implement it in your own life.
I had a boss I worked for one time, and he was a very hard guy to work for, very demanding. But he had a really good point. He was like, you know what? Same story. Different day. And we have to remind ourselves of
that. Is that really how you put it?
There were a few more colorful words there.
Same day.
But his point was true, which is, you know, you got to be consistent. And that's repetition is the mother of all skill, no matter what you're doing.
I think the other thing, Jen, and I completely echo what Dennis just said. I think early in a relationship, though, I think you have to establish your walkaway point. And I think, and I can't speak for Dennis and Corey, but I think on a couple of different occasions, you know what you want at some point early in that process.
I'm going to have to
And then that gets
you.
Really fuzzy.
I'm going to have to interrupt you because you can't talk about the walkaway point right now.
No, what I mean is if you know going into, I need these things, right?
Absolutely. And you need to be willing
those things,
to walk away.
Right, and those things don't exist. I think you owe yourself, and I think you owe that other party a level of transparency so you don't waste 6 months or a year in something that could probably never work.
Yeah, go home and repeat that to yourself 5 times. I'm just kidding. Love you. Okay, Corey.
Hey, can I jump in here real quick, Jen? I think the main point that Dennis brought up that I think may have gotten lost is the fact that you have to take step backs all the time.
Yeah.
This is not something that you write down and you look in the mirror and go, okay, this is what I want. And then you go out there 6 months later and you've got it and everything's perfect. It never stops. It's never quit learning. It's constantly readapting yourself to the situation. And I think that's part of the problem in dating today is I think both parties, female and males, we get in that rut and we're just going and going and going. And we never do exactly what Dennis is said to do, which is take a step back and reevaluate where you are right now. Because we're never the same. We're not the same today as we're going to be tomorrow.
That's exactly right.
And that's important because out of every relationship we've been in, every time you get out of one, you're a different person and you need to stop, pause, and reexamine. So I want to get to you, Corey. You're quiet.
Well, I didn't want to talk over anybody.
He was following the rules.
Corey.
So, but listen to both these guys. Now, I've been divorced a lot longer, so they're as far as I'm concerned, they're baby singles.
Rookies.
So,
what are you, just picky?
I think I'm selective. I like that word better.
Okay, better word.
I know that when I first got divorced, it was the same thing. You got to figure out who you are. And to your point, being able to stay at home by yourself and being cool with it, and once you're comfortable with that, that's when I think you really are ready to get out there and go see who you want to date. But in terms of what you said earlier, the original question was, do we really want to get out there and date or do we just want to have a good time? And that really depends on who you are. Right now, if it happens, it happens. I mean, I used to be actively searching, whether it was websites or whatever, actively searching to go find somebody. And now I'm just pretty much, if it falls into my lap organically, then so be it.
That's a good place to be.
Yeah, it is a good place to be.
Perfect place to be.
So I was going to ask, since you two guys brought it up, because I'm in the same boat as you guys. I'm very comfortable sitting at home all the time, right? You know, big TV and a beverage and chilling. Does that become too easy?
Well, that's a good question. My mom asked me, she's like, Corey, do you find singles just being too easy? And I thought, because I don't want to be that guy that's set in his ways. I remember as a kid hearing people say, that old man, he's just set in his ways. And I don't want to be that. But sometimes it is easy just sitting at home watching whatever.
You don't want to be Clint Eastwood in Torino or whatever it was where you're sitting on the porch with your rocking chair.
I think that largely depends whether it's Shark Week or not on National
that
Geographic.
That is a great point. MASH Marathon.
Exactly. But I would say that you do always need to be out there in circulation. You got to keep moving. You got to give yourselves opportunity to be seen, be noticed, and maybe notice that one special lady or what not. So, you know, you got to be comfortable being on your own, but you also need to not go out of circulation. You need to be circulating.
Well, I think Jen always tells us too, and in all of the stuff she preaches, you got to go to the grocery store.
Right.
You got to stop and get gas.
Just look around.
You got to work, and you sometimes get, well, I know Corey goes to the gym. You got to, I mean, there's all these things we do every day, but sometimes we're not in the mindset of, wow, that she's pretty cool over there looking at the lemons.
I'm convinced aisle nine can produce romance. I mean, seriously. I mean, you can find that person at the store, whatever. It's Jimmy Johnson, coach of the Dallas Cowboys, one time said, luck, there's no such thing as luck. It means when preparation meets opportunity.
That's absolutely right. I must be out of sorts. I'm not tracking this at all. So, like, the girl in aisle nine, you're just going to go fire on the girl? That's not my deal.
One thing I noticed, the girls at the grocery store, they never make eye contact.
Yeah, so that's what I don't get. Like, if she's over at the Apples and you're just going to roll up and be like, hey, how are you?
I talk to people at the grocery store all the time.
Do you really?
I get hit on at the grocery store. I can't even mention names here, but I have been hit on by famous people at grocery stores. So yeah.
Let's help us out then.
He just brought up a valid point. Help us. What is the? I've always read and heard. It's just, hey, I'm Brad. How are you?
Yeah. You know.
Nice apples. That probably wouldn't work, would it?
Delete. Okay, so I don't want to spend too much time on this, but I do think it is important to say, we're talking about comfortability and all that. Yes, it can be. I think that goes for men and women. We can get comfortable being single, but we do. I mean, if we say we want love, and I think this is a frustration of men and women out there. If we say we want love, then you've got to pursue it. You know, if you like somebody, you've got to try. You got to step out of your comfort zone a little bit. Yeah, you know what Friday and Saturday night are like, you know, sitting by yourself and you're comfortable with it. But just think how much better it could be with somebody new in your life. And if you don't have
sitting
the space
at home
for
on the couch
and you don't want it, then don't date, because you could, in a sense, bring somebody aboard that likes you, and then you disappoint them, right? So, and trust me, I hear from women about bad dating manners, and that's what I would call this, in the sense that if somebody isn't interested or they're not ready, then they just kind of disappear. Ghosting or whatever, right?
They ghost them. Just tell them. It's all right. It's okay to be.
Do you tell them? Do you tell them?
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so you go on a first date, you're not interested, you tell somebody you're not interested.
I wouldn't, probably not inside the date, but you don't ghost somebody.
Yeah.
I mean,
okay, so would you text her the next day? How would you?
Within a week.
Because she's probably expecting a call or something, wondering how you're feeling and if you want to go out again, if you had a good time.
I'd say within a week is appropriate, a few days.
What if you liked her? How many days would you call her? That's another
question.
About
3 minutes after I get home.
Really?
So let's get into that. Why is that different?
Next day,
yeah,
for sure.
I do want to know that, because that's
why
a big question.
Different?
Why
not
different?
Tell the one that you're not interested in just as soon as you would tell one that you're interested in?
Because I want to process.
Yeah. What's there to process? You said you weren't interested.
Well, I still want to process and make sure I know what I'm feeling before I fire that bullet.
Well, I'm kind of curious. I mean, do the girls expect that that night or the next day? Because I had someone give me the advice that said, Corey, you need to let those girls know. If you're not interested, you need to call them and let them know. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to. Can't they just figure it out if I'm not calling?
Yeah.
You don't want to be that guy,
that's
right? You don't want to be the quote-unquote heartbreaker or the shatterer of dreams or... You know,
you're not going to break their heart after one date.
Come on.
You're not. We'll get into that too.
Women just want to know where they stand, and I think men do too. They just want to know where you stand.
All right, but
if you didn't have a good time, it's fine. It's not going to break anybody's heart.
Okay, well, there's that awkward conversation after a first date about where do I stand. I mean, give me a break. You've been on one date. You're asking me, where do we stand? Seriously, let's get real with each other.
Well, hopefully people aren't asking you that, but I mean, that would be a big question.
Go ahead, Dennis. Dennis has got it.
There's another side of the equation here. Flip the coin over.
Right.
We may have a date. I've had these where I thought it went great. I felt like some good vibes. Guess what? They're not interested. Right. You know, text them the next day. Hey, so-and-so, I had a great time. Love to see you again. When would you like to go out again? And I give the girl credit when she says, you know what? Thank you so much. You're a sweet guy. I just don't feel the connection.
Women are getting better at that.
I encourage any woman to please be transparent with the guy.
Completely agree.
Not the news they want to hear. Now, the problem is, excuse my language, there's been a lot of guys out there who've acted like a jackass when getting that information, and they steer women to, well, I don't want to say this because I don't want to get in a confrontation or him being mean to me, but be transparent. And look, that's happened to me. So And I, Jennifer, I commented on one of your posts a week ago or two, and I said, look, if I go out with a girl, I know for a fact she's really interested in me. If she texts me like later that night saying, right, thank you, had
that's a good sign.
Time,
that good manners.
99% of the time, I know for a fact she's interested, and barring something happening, we're going to have a second date if I'm interested. If not, I would say, hey, listen, I had a great time. I didn't feel a connection, but it was really great to meet you. I do think it's important to be transparent because it really is hard being on the other side. Being ghosted, crickets is a horrible thing.
Well, I can say, because I'm a lady, and I think that a woman should always text a man after a date or call him or whatever and say thank you, whether you're interested or not, right? Mm-hmm. I think a woman can say, let's do this again, would love to see you again if she does, right? If she does want to see him again. But I think a woman should always thank a guy. So maybe guys get the wrong impression just because maybe she's messaged him and said thank you.
I would say, be honest and say thank you so much. However, I didn't. It's okay. In my book, in my world, it's okay to say thank you. I had a great time. I don't feel a connection.
And
you'd
want
perfectly
that.
Acceptable.
You would want that night.
Or the next day or a couple days. I mean, if I really liked her, yeah, I would be like antsy to hear back or whatever. I'd be excited. But I would rather, the longer the excitement goes, the bigger the disappointment gets, I guess, if I'm being transparent. So I'd rather know soon that she's not interested and then forget it, move on to the next one.
Would you guys say you feel the same way?
Yeah. I mean, I can pretty much tell after the first date whether or not there was a connection, if there's not. I mean, I had one girl ask me during the first date, what do you think? And that was tough to answer. I'm like, can't we just enjoy
I've got a better one.
Can we just
I've got a better one than that.
Can I need another drink
probably
now?
Too long of a story, but I got a better one than that.
Let's do fireball shots.
We'll keep drinking until we like each other.
That's right.
Till you're better looking and I'm prettier.
Bring us a cocktail every 7 minutes. And
I have changed my mind
that.
On you after the last
three
right.
drinks.
How did you answer that, Corey?
I said,
like, what about what do I think about dinner, your dress?
No, she's very direct. She's like, you know really quick, because I do know very quick, right? And she said, what do you think? And I go, well, can't we just enjoy the drink and the conversation for a little longer? Because honestly, it was a no. And I just didn't want to say it.
Yeah.
So later on, she just kept pushing. And I go, okay, it's a no. I'm not asking you out again.
Wow.
That's
well,
awkward.
Good for you, though. I mean, it sounds rude,
wow,
but, it's, but it's not. Like,
yeah. I'm sure
you
that would have worked out fine for you, Corey.
Then she said, well, what was it?
It's like, I don't know, generally
you have
maybe
to
your
ask.
Attitude. I don't know. I'm just taking a shot in the dark here.
Yeah.
How about if we just chill and have a 1 hour dinner without conflict? Right. Does that work for you?
Yeah, I could imagine the second date.
Yeah. Can you imagine 6 months later? Oh, my God.
Well,
where are we going with this? What's the next question, Jen?
I know. Oh, my God. I know. I can't eat. My jaw hurts from laughing so hard.
Well, it is interesting that she had to ask why it was no.
We were only a drink and a half in.
And we wonder why we're all banging our heads up against the wall in the dating world in 2019.
I did walk her to her car, though.
Good for you.
If you're walking me to my car and you're not going to go on a date with me, I mean, I felt like I had to.
Because you're a gentleman.
Because you're a gentleman.
Talking about first date, I had a girl on a first date. Not even kidding. Within, let's say, 30 minutes of sitting down, informed me that she wanted to quit work. She wanted to be taken care of and have a child in the next 2 years.
At least she was upfront and honest about it.
Jen, come on. Seriously?
Listen, you're the one that chose her. You asked her out.
Wait a second. What are you?
And the man in the mirror again rears his ugly head.
There's a mirror right there you can look in. Okay. So what I want to know, because I think, I mean, obviously it's different strokes for different folks, but I want to know, because I think there are themes, because I hear them as a matchmaker, what are turn-ons and turn-offs on a first date, right? So, and I will say that I'm always amazed. Men are so picky about what women wear on a first date. Clothing is so important to more men than it is women. But so that's what I want to talk about. Turn on and turn off. So John's over here just like chomping at the bit. So I went top three turn ons, top three turn offs, and then we're going to go all the way around.
I probably can't come off the top of my head with top three and three. I don't really care. I'd rather somebody be authentic. I don't really care if she's wearing Prada or have designer clothes. I'd rather, like, honestly, I'm kind of at a point where I'd like to get to know you. And if that means you're in a baseball hat in a sports bar watching the Buckeye game, I'd much rather enjoy that. And I get the first couple of dates, you need to go do the $300 dinner and all that. That's fine. But very quickly, I'm more interested in getting to know you and seeing if there's a connection on every level. Turnoffs, I can smell people that aren't authentic for the most part. I've made some mistakes, and I'm sure you're going to remind me of them later today when we talk. But which you do every week, so I feel good about that discussion coming up at 4 o'clock. Anyway.
Not on the podcast.
Not on the podcast, thank goodness, because you need that FCC, like, seven-second dump, you know, to get out of the call. But turnoffs for me is just be authentic about who you are, because I can. I'm usually pretty good about smelling, you know, things that probably.
That's great advice.
Yeah, probably don't look right. So that's probably one and one for you.
Okay, good. Corey?
Yeah, I don't know if I can do three and three, but I would say a turn-on is somebody who can carry on a conversation, and I do like somebody who dresses nice. Uh-huh. And a turn-off to me is somebody who can't make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the whole time you're talking to them, they're not making eye contact whatsoever.
Right.
And they don't ask questions to keep the conversation rolling, that type of stuff. That turns me off.
Right.
One more thing. How about the phone? Please put your phone away. I mean.
Yes. Yes.
Please. Yeah. I don't know what you got going on. And if you do have something going on, I'm cool with that. Tell me to work thing. Mom's in the hospital. My child has no issues. But like when you're sitting there every 10 seconds on a text message or Facebook or your InstaPic or Instagram or whatever the hell it all is, like, why are we even here?
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I figure another one of yours, Corey, is asking me about a second date on the first date.
Right.
And wanting an answer.
Actually,
right
not
there,
asking
real time.
More.
You should know.
More badgering.
On,
yeah. I mean, like, what do you think, bud?
Yeah.
Okay, good stuff. Dennis?
So I've had the benefit of writing down a list while you gentlemen have been talking. So one of them was already covered, but let me just say this. Mother Nature takes care of a lot in the first 30 seconds, law of attraction. You can't force attraction. So either you're going to be attracted to that person or not. Same thing for them. But here's some things that are turnoffs. If they're not punctual or if they're running late and don't call, major turnoff.
Absolutely.
Looking at the phone, we talked about that and I've said, and overall, if they show up with a bad attitude or a chip on their shoulder, that is a turnoff. I like a warm greeting. You know, if a hug's appropriate, that's great. I try to ask a lot of questions to get to know them, but I want to see if they're asking me some questions and if they're showing genuine interest in me. Otherwise, and it's like, you know, what are we doing here if we don't want to get to know each other? But on the same token, the guy's got to ask questions and be willing to listen as well. And I've heard a lot of women say, I went out with this guy and all he did was talk about himself
I
for
hear
2 hours.
That all the time.
And guys got to shut up. Let him talk. Listen.
Dennis,
ask the questions.
I love your, I want a warm greeting.
Yeah. Well, why not?
A warm
showing up late is a big one.
It sounds dirty, doesn't it?
But no, it's like a nice hug or a nice smile or a hi versus a hey, how's it going? And a
warm greeting. Warm greeting to me says low cut blouse, short skirt, high heels, and big hair.
No, it's short skirt and a long jacket.
That's why we're not asking. That's why we're not asking Brad his top three. You know, so having said that, so you had to go into the whole physical part. You know, by the way, that does not shock me when these women go, well, all he wants to do is take me home after the date when she's, you know, dressing provocatively or coming on to a man, which brings us into the first date if there is chemistry, right? So I know we talked about this. So I guess we could say first date sex.
Let's just get into it. Yeah, let's just get in. Let's open this door up, baby.
Do we do it or not do it? I mean, this is a different world. I mean, I wasn't raised that way. I wouldn't do it. It's not in me. But
I think sex on the first date generally is not a good thing for a lot of different reasons. You want to get to know that person, and I think in general, a woman is going to feel really bad the next day, you know, and I think that she's going to feel bad about herself. And I think it could hamper the relationship further. Why are you laughing, Brent?
Corey just gave me a look like, what the hell is he talking about?
She better feel real good.
No. Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Like, well, Dennis, that's not on me. I mean, come on.
I'm talking about the next morning. I'm not talking about 11:30 at night when the soft music's playing.
Well, I will say that sex on
when
the
you're
first
dropping
night,
a Barry White.
Right. The sex on the first night generally results in no second date.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I think, I mean Jim and I.
Why would you go there with her and then if you're not interested in pursuing her any further? Or did you just.
Because sometimes, I mean, this is back in the day. I'm not speaking about the current Corey for any current listeners, but I'm just saying, I just noticed that it killed the relationship. You know, I mean, it killed the hunger to get to know him, actually.
too much too soon?
I have heard that from a lot of guys that, you know, and it is that whole when you rush in and now you're intimate, right? So the next time you see them, you've already broken that barrier. So now it's all about intimacy instead of getting to know one another.
The foundation.
And then it's hard to back out of it if you've already gone there and she's attached.
Sometimes that's, you can tell that's all they want to, you know.
Yeah. All right. So you brought it up and Jen and I talked about this on the way over. And so I wanted to bring it up because I'm of the adage of, and this is, again, this is not current Brad either, but if two people understand there may not be deeper interest, but there is an evening of physical interest, and you guys both know you're going to walk away the next morning, and there won't be texts and there won't be phone calls, is that a bad issue? And I'm not asking that because I'm condoning it. I'm asking
why would you do that unless you just like wanted an STD? I mean, come on.
I'm not saying that. I'm not condoning it, but I do know this occurs. We're all dreaming if we don't think this occurs out there that two people are
physically on a first date.
Yes, two people are physically attracted to each other, are on a first date, and they go home with each other. That happens, guys. We're dreaming if we don't think it happens. And, and I'll be honest, the people in this room, other than Jen, because she said she didn't, but I would be willing to bet in the past we've probably done it too. So is that really a bad issue if there's no interest, no desire to get to a deeper relationship? You're not going to call. She's not going to call. And you walk away the next morning. Everybody's happy.
I'm tracking with Jen. Like the whole disease thing scares the shit out of me. Full stop. I don't, you know, it just does. There's stuff out there that doesn't go away, and then you start thinking about your ability to work and your ability to take it. To me, at this point in my life, no thanks.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. But, you know, back in the day, there was a time where, you know, kind of to your point,
it happened.
You sometimes, though, you know, I was wrong. I just assumed she knew and I knew that this was just to kind of be like a one-night
gig.
That
happens too, right?
And then the next day, you realize it was not a one-night gig. How dare you do that type thing? And why did you do that?
So that's
what's kind of kept me back to do what I do now. I just kind of like, I don't want to experience all that.
Yeah. Cause some women use that they don't have enough self-confidence in who they are as a person. So they use their body and their sexuality to rope a man in. So that's their, 100%. Somebody that moves too quickly is probably there. So she's probably not catching on to that. So, you know, what's interesting to me, though, and I think it's more millennials than it is people in their 50s and 60s and even late 40s. Women are exerting themselves more. They're a lot more aggressive and a lot more.
Now, where are they?
Whatever.
Do you have Facebook?
I'm just kidding. Again, I wasn't. Yeah. I wanted one more like, clarification on that question. I wasn't condoning it. I just wanted to get into the discussion, because I think it probably occurs more out there than we probably think it does.
Oh, yeah. I think it does. You know, Jennifer, I would also add to the comment you made, you know, women are aggressive. My observations are that women are a lot more independent and more content, not necessarily having to be with a guy. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's harder and harder to crack the code of getting somebody interested, getting somebody to know them. It's because it's like there's a wall of defense, or, you know, don't bother me. I'm, you know, whatever. And it's like, I'm fine. I don't need a guy. And it's like, how do you break that code? My observation, a lot more independence out of women.
It's a great
Dennis, you win the digression of the day.
Thank you very much.
Because here's why. This was a question I wanted to ask you guys, because I think it comes up as well, is, and this is, again, down to the nitty gritty of what we face. And I'll just start with you, Dennis, because you brought it up.
Sure.
Give me one or two of the biggest challenges you deal with the 2019 lady.
Okay.
And you just mentioned, I think, one of the biggest ones, which is independence.
And I want to use the word too, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but women call it, so what the women that are listening can kind of relate, women will say, guys are intimidated by me.
Oh, please.
Women that say that guys are intimidated by me, I'm strong, I'm independent, they're intimidated, this is your conversation, listen in closely. So go ahead, Dennis.
All right, here's the answer. This is big enough to cover items one and number two on my list. Emotional debt, okay? They bring in emotional debt
from baggage.
The last relationship baggage. Now, everybody's going to have baggage. I work in the travel industry. Here's the issue.
Everybody has baggage.
Will it fit in the overhead bin? Perfect. If we got to check about five at the sky cap, we got maybe a little bit of an issue here. My point is, I will pay for my debt in a relationship, but do not saddle me with the debt your ex-boyfriend, your ex-husband, or whoever created on you, and don't project that on me, because I'm going to be honest, I'm going to be transparent, I'm going to be loyal to you. If the other guys weren't, don't try to look for me to repeat their patterns.
Yeah,
I'm
that's the whole all guys are that and all guys are this, right?
Right.
What about you, Corey?
I'm Dennis. I'm who I am. Don't compare me to...
Yeah, it's completely fair.
Yeah, Brad, Terry, or whoever.
Be easy.
It doesn't matter, right?
What about you, Corey? What are some of the things that you think are the biggest challenges out there with the 2019, you know, female?
I would say... that's a tough question, because there's many, I would say. And I don't know if it really is. I shouldn't say it that way. But, I mean, I don't know if it really is the 2019 female. I just think it's just the way it is. I mean, you know, I'm in my early 50s, so a lot of the people I'm with are a date. They've got young kids. So trying to get away and get on a date.
Time is
probably the biggest thing. And the whole thing about I've heard that before, where girls say, oh, the guys are just intimidated by me. And I agree with you. That is such baloney.
I can honestly tell you, not one time in my life did I go home and call Corey and say, man, that date was terrible because I was so freaking intimidated.
Like it's like a humble brag.
Yeah.
He was just intimidated by me. No, sorry.
All right, so since we're on that subject.
Take that back home.
Why don't you jump in here, Jen, on that subject? Because in my opinion, and what I've read and learned and listened to you, when a female says that, and even a male, is that an insecurity issue? Is that them putting up a wall that says, hey, I'm a lot stronger than I'm a... Why do people say that?
I think what it is from being a matchmaker and listening to a lot of women, and I know John has an answer because he's flagging me down over there, but I'll get to you in a second, John, but I am the woman here, so I get to answer.
He's the boss.
So I think what happens is... women do whatever they do. Maybe they have brought baggage in. Maybe they've turned the guy off. Maybe they've put too much pressure on the guy during the date, for expectations or something. And instead of owning their own stuff, all the stuff they did wrong on the date, it's all wrapped into the whole, well, I'm a strong woman. I probably intimidated him. I intimidate a lot of guys. My money, my job, my strong personality, you know, it intimidates a man. So I think it's a mask that women hide behind because they don't want to deal with their own stuff as to the real reason the guy didn't like them.
We believe the stories we tell ourselves, and I firmly believe that the number one person we BS the most is ourselves.
Thank you.
All right,
you,
John,
Dennis.
Biggest challenges.
By the way, the producer loves you. He's just like, yeah, every time you talk.
Let's go for drinks, buddy.
I don't have something that we haven't already discussed. I'll just echo what Dennis said. Like, don't make me pay the bill for something that happened in your past. Don't project on me, because it chews up in a tremendous amount of time and emotion and energy. The biggest thing for me, like a deal breaker early in a relationship, there's the first 6 months or a year of your relationship should be really good, you know, like really good.
Easy.
And if you're, yes, you should enjoy each other. And honestly, I get the whole time thing. I get the kids thing. It should be easy. It should flow. If you're in a constant state of conflict over things that are not even happening, you got a major league problem going on. So recognizing, and I'm the worst offender, and Jen again will remind me at 4 o'clock, when that red flag goes off, you got to be prepared to walk away right then.
Right.
So I think not making the guy pay for whatever happened in your past, from who, by who, and allowing the relationship to unfold naturally without chaos, without drama, without conflict, to me, that's like a deal breaker.
Isn't it great when you get to give advice because you get to hear it, you know?
Well, you're helping me write the book, right?
I know, yeah.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah, write the book. Yeah. So I want to go back because I know we're running out of time. I want to make sure we hit the chemistry thing, because that's a really big deal. And I'm going to say this as a woman, and I'm going to speak for women also. There's a little bit of a double standard. I can't say that women don't do it also, but men have flaws. Maybe a guy's 10 pounds overweight, but yet he doesn't want to date a woman who's 10 pounds overweight. The chemistry thing is, it's what? Off the charts. I mean, I'm a matchmaker. I do this all the time. I hear the feedback.
We're not going to do this on air, are we?
We
the whole
are.
Chemistry thing.
We are
all
totally
right. What's the question?
Do it.
What's the question?
The
Jen?
Question is, why? What is this chemistry thing? You know, what is it that you're looking for? And why do you have to want to rip somebody's clothes off after a first date for you to want to go out with them a second time?
I don't. How many times have we been through this together?
A lot.
A lot. So first of all, I'm not going to answer for Corey and Dennis. My personal situation, chemistry has to exist, full stop. Second point is, you know it when you see it. I can't always put my finger on it. People say, well, what is your type? And I honestly don't have a type. I mean, people say, and you'll get into discussions with Jen and your friends, well, do you like tall brunettes or do you like short blondes or athletic girls or smart girls? And the reality is, in my personal situation, yes. I don't have a type, right? No, I don't have a type. So getting back to your point around chemistry, you know, you're either a guy that needs it and needs it early in a relationship or you're not, in my humble opinion. But I don't think that has anything to do. I don't equate chemistry with going home with you on the first date, ripping each other's clothes off, and then the next day you're kind of walking around like in your to-do list the next day thinking to yourself, what the hell did I just do? So that's okay. My opinion.
Okay, so let you guys, Dennis, Corey, chemistry.
Do you want to go, Corey?
Repeat the question again.
I mean, just the whole thing. Like, what is this chemistry thing? Like, what is it that you're looking for, you know, that doesn't get you past that first date, you know, sometimes? Like, what is this chemistry thing that guys want that aren't willing to overlook little things?
I don't know if there really is a definition for chemistry, right? I mean, it's just it's a vibe. It's a feel. It's the excitement. I don't really know what it is. But like you said earlier, I mean, you know it when you see it and you feel it. I mean, if they sit there and they can't carry on a conversation or whatever, you know, there's probably not much chemistry.
Right.
So.
Right. But I think you can have chemistry with somebody, chemistry, not attraction, but chemistry with somebody that you didn't initially have it with on the first date. So maybe you go out with them a few times and then they're talking. And then all of a sudden something sparks, something's there. It's happened for me. I mean, it's happened for people. Has it happened for you, Brad?
Well, I think that may be the
I probably the just disconnect. Asked the wrong person.
No, I think that's the disconnect between maybe what a female definition of chemistry is and what a male definition of chemistry is. I think our chemistry is going to be that little butterfly, that physical, the she touched my hand.
That's
and I
infatuation.
Got, no, it's not. No, that's a chemistry. That's because, you know, you can have chemistry within other relationships, too. Guys around the table, we have chemistry with our guy friends, the guys we like to hang out with, the guys we go to games with. Then we have guys that we won't do those things, but we do other things with. Chemistry is just that kind of underlying behind the wall feeling. It's just like, man, she's just got something about her.
But,
and that's
but,
not
but
that's not a physical. That's
you,
not.
But if you don't see that on a first date, why would you not? If you had a good time, you liked her, the conversation was good, there was more there, why wouldn't you give it a second date?
Okay, because I think that's what I was getting to is the disconnect. I think what you're talking about is a deeper emotional connection. And we're more talking about, hey, did we connect? Do we have good conversation? Is she physically attracted to me? I'm physically attracted to her. Those kind of things. That to me is kind of a male definition of chemistry. And I think what you're talking about is we've gone on several dates and now we're going to that deeper level of connection, which is, wow, she's really good at this. And we've got a lot of connections and we connect on this level and that level. And I think that's when it gets deeper. I think the chemistry thing is truly like it used to be in back in the day is that little giddy feeling. And she walks in a room and you go, whoa.
I think there, you know, when we talk about chemistry, there are some sort of various components that go into it. You know, there needs to be the attraction, the physical attraction. I would also say the intellectual attraction needs to be there. It needs to flow. You know, we are so conditioned to anything we worth getting is worth hard work and hard charging. And I kind of equate it to rowing a boat. It's like, yeah, you got to row the oars, but the boat should glide. And if it doesn't glide, then something's wrong. But there's got to be a flow. And Jennifer, to your point, you know, I've been on dates with people. They're like, hey, I didn't really feel the attraction. I'm just like, you know, I have a feeling that if we would have gone out three or four times and had some great experiences together, then there would have been chemistry that developed.
Absolutely.
But in this world, it's next person.
Absolutely. Yeah. And
swipe
you know
left,
what?
Swipe
I think
right.
Sometimes on a first date, people are nervous. You know, they're not being themselves. So we should, if you have a good time, you should give somebody a chance and not expect perfection, right?
I think that sometimes people might say, I just didn't feel the chemistry, when actually that's just a code, soft way of saying, I'm not attracted to you, period.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
That's okay.
Yeah,
it's okay.
No, that's true. It's a nice way of saying it for sure. Okay, so there's a million more things that we could talk about. And I also wanted to take live questions, but I can see that we're going to have a part two of this because we've got to do this in a certain time frame. So we'll bring you guys back for a part two with questions. And once the podcast goes live, that will even be more fun because we'll be able to take the questions live. So we're going to wrap this up. I want to thank you guys for coming. It was great information. Women have so many more questions to ask you, but I appreciate all your honest answers and I appreciate you being here.
Thanks, Jen. We'll talk at four.
This is Jennifer. Thanks for listening today. And please subscribe to the podcast. Every single week, we'll have new information. And if you'd like to find out more information or if you have any questions, please go to my website at lovejen.com. Or you can find me on Facebook at my personal page, Jennifer Stiers.